Good evening, and welcome to another episode of That Which Does Not Kill Us. I'm your host, Sarah Arnold, and I just came across some random video on social media where this lady was talking about being traumatized by the relationship she had with her ex, and how some people that experience that, it takes... Basically, those experiences can take the light out of someone's eyes and pretty much remove whatever fire they had in their soul. And, like, the level of alteration that that type of an experience can do to someone. And she's not entirely wrong at all. But at the same time, like, so... this is something that is really challenging for me to talk about because I don't know how to describe this any better, but I'm going to try. I feel as though when I attempt to discuss the dichotomy of my marriage or like the impact that that experience had on my mental health for a very long time, both while I was in the marriage and probably for at least, I'm going to say, up until relatively recently, I feel like it has had an impact on how I've operated and how I felt about myself as a human being. And like, it's taken me a long time after getting out of the house to get to a point where I feel stable, like mentally stable. And by when I say recently, like, I feel like all things considered, like, I feel like I'm in a good place right now. I was in a good place for about half of the time that I was in South Carolina. The other half of the time I was kind of compartmentalizing, like doing super compartmentalizing. Part of that was, you know what I mean, still marriage residue, and some of that was, you know, other experiences, but whatever. But like, I feel like now more than ever, this is probably... like, realistically, this is the best that I've felt in a really long time, like, where I'm at right now. And I'm not going to say, like, I'm not 100% at peace with everything that has happened, but I feel as though, in comparison to where I've been, you know, over the last few years on my own, and then, you know, for, you know, at least 50% of the marriage, and that would be like sprinkled throughout the whole thing. So I mean, the entire 15 years, half of it was great and half of it was terrible. It just seemed like as it got closer to the end of that time, like the great and good was few and far between. Like it got lesser and lesser. And the terrible just seemed to be happening more and more. Like, and then, you know, couple that with some additional outside high stress circumstances, and it's literally a recipe for disaster. But, anyhow, I do feel as though, like, trying to elaborate on the entirety of my experience there, like, I feel fucking crazy. I don't feel as though when I'm expressing all of the things that happened during that time frame, like, I don't feel as though what I'm expressing comes across with any kind of cohesion or rationality. Like, and that could just be my perception because I came out of that relationship feeling, you know what I mean, like I had completely lost my fucking mind. I didn't know who I was, and a lot of other very I was overwhelmed with complex emotions to the point where I had a lot of shit to work through, and like I'm still working through that. I'm not going to say that I'm not. And all of your relationship shit, for lack of a better way of putting it, it's childhood shit on repeat. Until you fucking notice the pattern in the cycle repetition, that's what it is. Like, sorry. Like, I'm just going to fucking rip the Band-Aid off. That's what your negative relationship bullshit, that's exactly what that is. That's your negative childhood bullshit on fucking repeat. That, you know what I mean? The shit that you didn't work through in childhood, you're basically chasing the same fucking dragon. You know? Anyhow. So, but what I mean by that is, And I think the reason why it doesn't seem cohesive to me is because of the amount of layers that were there. Because like realistically speaking, and at the end of things, it was literally a culmination of everything. You know, my marriage was toxic. The good times were great. The bad times were terrible. And the bad times, like my ex and I engaged in toxic behaviors. So, I mean, we rushed into a serious commitment. We pretty much, you know, like the way the things transpired, it was very unhealthy. We were living together after having like been involved like 2 months, you know, like that is not enough time to get to know a person at all. Like, so, I mean, we really got to know each other through living together, you know, if I were to be clear about that. So, I mean, the first time that my ex got, like, really angry with me, like, we were still dating the first time. Like, it wasn't long after I moved in, so it was pretty fucking early. The first time he fucking blew up at me was because I cleaned our fucking room and lost his fucking weed. Okay? Like, or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even know if I lost it or if that, whatever. Either way. Like, the weed went missing. Ugh. Sorry, I don't smoke. I hadn't in, like, I don't even, like, you know what I mean? Like, I hadn't used the shit in, like, probably 6 or 7 years by the time this happened. So, like, I don't fucking know. Like, not a big deal to me. Like, eh. Anyhow. So that was like explosive incident number one. You know, when we got out of that living circumstance and got into our own place, you know, it turned into like he didn't want me going out. Now I'm going to give you two sides of things. On one hand, yes, I was going out to a bar with a friend of mine. So I can see the perspective, like looking at it from a fucking 41-year-old adult's perspective. I can see both sides of this. Okay, I can see the, you don't want me going out to a bar drinking with my girlfriend because, you know, there's a bunch of fucking sleazeballs in bars. Okay, like, I get that. But then at the same time, like, this is what she and I would usually do. Like, this is how we would blow off steam. And so, like this motherfucker was invited to come along, too. So, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, the fact that that was the friend that I was hanging out with pretty frequently. That was local. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how do I say this without saying it? It's basically like I was isolated from the only friend that I had. Ironically, it was a friend from work. So, like, we still saw each other at work. But either way, like, there is, like, I'm not saying he's right and I'm not saying I'm right. There's a middle ground to be had there. But either way, it's controlling fucking behavior, you know? I enabled that because I stopped going out. So, you know what I mean? That's like point one, you know? Early on, he used to cook sometimes and I used to cook sometimes. And that was cool. Like, there, you know what I mean? There were shared responsibilities, but my ex was still a fucking slob and that gave me a lot of anxiety. That was a thing that was a consistent thing. That was a consistent unresolved issue the entire time we were together. And I feel as though going from our apartment into a house So that's something that happened in 2013. And when that happened, there was a slow decline in the amount of help I would get around the house. Like I feel as though I never really got complete help around the house anyway, even when we were in the apartment, but it's easier to manage because it's a smaller fucking location, you know what I mean? So I'm not as infuriated about it because it's a smaller space. Like, so I have a higher tolerance for bullshit because it's easier to control in a smaller space. That makes sense. Less work. Or at least it seems to be less work. Anyhow, so you know what I mean? That was part of it. Like, another part of it was the insults, whereas, like, if I really liked something, you know, that I was basically being insulted for my taste because, like, come to find out he was fucking jealous, you know? Like, ironically, I found out after my ex transitioned to female that they were showing interest in all of the things that they would put me down for. And so, while I didn't understand at the time, like, it took me a long fucking time to understand that whole concept and, like, wrap my mind around that in its entirety and what kind of mind fuckery goes with that. But just the generalized insults. And I mean, like, I'm gonna be real with you. My ex doesn't insult like anybody else, okay? And this is not a compliment. The types of insults I would receive would be like, I hate that, you should burn it, you know? That would be like, if he didn't like something that I had picked out to wear for myself or that I had picked up that I was really fucking excited and enthusiastic about, you know what I mean? He would make sure to take 100% of the wind out of my sails for that thing that I was excited about, you know? Absolutely zero support in that. Mind you, like, I'm a low-key fashionista. My style doesn't match anybody else's. It is very much my own, but when I like things, I really like them, and they call to me. I don't know how to describe that better. I like what I like. I'm really picky. So consistently being put down for those things hurts, especially, you know, over the time of 15 years. Then there's the, you know, you should with my makeup shit every time we left the house for a fucking function. The fact that every time we left the house to do something, it became a fight because I had to get myself ready and also get him ready, but I was taking too long. And you know what I mean? Like, I was taking too long while being responsible for two people. And so, yeah, that would always be a thing. It's like, it's weird. It's so fucking weird. And then anytime we left the house for something, like, I would be perpetually rushed, and never given the time to be able to, you know what I mean? Like, all of the things that I like to do in my morning to get ready, like, whatever I want to do for my morning routine, I was never given that time to do that. Because my time was not valuable. Like, I was not allowed to value my own time, basically. So that's a whole other thing. There's the smells in the house, like, and the kind of, well, he only liked certain smells, and pretty much, like, we didn't like the same things, and it came to that context. So living together in that way was a fucking nightmare because I felt as though nothing that I couldn't have anything I wanted in my fucking house, you know, in those types of contexts. You know, I talked about adding, this is funny because I feel like my post-marriage decor is 100% an act of fucking rebellion. Because what I wanted to add, I had a very specific color palette in mind for decor because I picked up some things and I really liked it. Like this dark gray and like this almost a mustard yellow. And to me, the thing that would fucking make that pop is like throwing in there's it's a dark teal that's slightly more on the green side than it is to the blue. Not a lot, just a little bit. Just a very, very, very little bit more green than blue. And I just thought, like, those three colors as a color combination would pop so hard. And he fucking hated the blue. Like, he hated the teal. Strongly hated the teal. So, let's just say, like, I love it. Like, I absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite shades of blue. And so, my post-marriage house, I have it in lots of places because I like it. Like, I don't know. It reminds me of the ocean. I think that's what it is. So there was that. Then there was the frustration. Well, there was the resentment that came along with a job offer that I turned down that I was really excited about that I got in 2016. And then, you know what I mean? Like, the complexity of being told not to do something that you're really excited about, and then after, you know, after declining that type of an offer, then going back and, you know, getting the, and I use this loosely because I really feel like when it came to career support, like, the only support I was given was fucking empty lip service, you know? And I mean that because, like, I would get the lip service of, like, you know, something will come along, da-di-da-da-da. But then when it came to the work that I had to put in, it wasn't okay. You know what I mean? Like, there was a double standard when it came to hours worked. You know, while my ex was a late bloomer to career living, while my ex was a late bloomer to career living, I started off much earlier with mine. And it was okay for this motherfucker to live at work, but it wasn't okay for me to live at work, you know? And it wasn't okay for me to bring my work home when I had important people in leadership coming for a facility visit. The level of shit that I would get about, you know what I mean, dedicating a night, like a singular night, like the night before my visit was supposed to take place is when I would usually do all of my studying of, like, numbers and things. That's when I would go over, like, I would cram, have a hard cram session to get my brain ready. And I would get shit about that because I was ignoring him, basically. And I just felt by the end of things, well, then, you know, aside from that, there was the purchase of the house that I wanted to wait to buy a house, and he did not. So what did we do? We bought a house when he wanted to, in his name only. And, you know, then there was a changeover of vehicles, and it got to the point where all of the vehicles were only in his name, which on a conscious level, I believe that that was not like an intentional dig. Or I don't believe that that was a controlling behavior intentionally. It still made me feel trapped. There was something about, and I can't put my finger on it. Like, it's, and it probably sounds fucking paranoid as shit, but I don't really care. But, like, there was something about living a house. Like, I was living in a house. My name was fucking nowhere on that shit. Like, I had no fucking ownership to the house. I had no fucking ownership to the cars. Like, everything is this motherfucker's. You know what I mean? So, like, there is, like, a subtle subconscious layer of you have nothing, you know, to that. Like, I, like, and like I said, I'm positive that's not intentional. That's just my interpretation of the situation. But, like, it gave me pause and it made me paranoid. I'm not gonna lie. Like, it did give me certain feelings of uncomfortable, like, that are uncomfortable and hard to elaborate on, you know? I mean, yeah. So, there was that, and it seemed like, obviously, the maintenance of the house. Like, I got tired of being responsible for everything while not being appreciated for anything, you know? Like, after we got into the house, like, I think we were probably there maybe, I'm going to guess 4 or 5 months, maybe. Around then is when my former father-in-law retired. And when he retired, he started coming over and mowing our lawn once a week. And the reason why he was coming over and mowing our lawn once a week is because if he didn't, that would be another responsibility that I had. Like, I don't know how to say this without sounding like an asshole, so I'm just gonna fucking rip this band-aid off. Like, he was paying penance for the child that he created, basically. Like, I don't know how to say that any differently, because I feel like that's the truth. Like, this motherfucker knew that if he didn't come do the lawn, I would be doing it. And he knew damn well that, like, you know what I mean? This personality quirk was a situation that he helped create. He and my former mother-in-law helped to create this, because their other son is the exact fucking same way when it comes to the household shit. So that tells me, like, oh no, that's part of your environment. Okay, that's very much environmental. And so, like, neither of your children were made to take responsibility for themselves, you know? Obviously. So, okay. Like, I had that epiphany fucking Christmas Eve 2020. Ironically, I wanted to have a conversation about it, but I was told I don't want to get into a fight. I was actually at peace with it. As weird and fucked up as it sounds, like, I was at peace with it when I had that epiphany of, like, oh, shit, you're a product of your upbringing. Okay. And then, to my knowledge, the conversation was never fucking had. Like, that even before I left, I understood you were a product of your upbringing. And this isn't, like, I can't change you. You know what I mean? That was, like, one of the ahas I had that night, is I can't change you. You know? But yeah, it was just everything, you know? I felt as though I couldn't communicate openly. So, I had accumulated some debt while I was in the marriage. My ex knew nothing about that. And the reason my ex knew nothing about that is because they were giving me shit about money. Like, which is weird, because I'm like, you know, like, this motherfucker's giving me shit about money pertaining to large purchases that I never fucking agree to, like cars, okay? Don't ask me about buying a car with you, or, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to buy a car, you buy the fucking car. I didn't make that decision. I did not agree to that. That's on you, motherfucker. Like, I'm not the one going to the dealership and fucking buying damn cars. That's you. That's your fucking financial contribution. I pay 50% of the fucking mortgage and the bills. And, you know, I pay for a fucking health insurance. And, yeah, like, just, like, the money thing was so stupid. Because he would get mad because I didn't have the money. Like, you know what I mean? I didn't have the additional funding to contribute to like, buying shit to do things around the house, you know what I mean? Like, lumber and, you know, home project kind of shit. Like, here's the thing, and this is a fucking reality check for anybody that's listening that might be in a marriage, okay? Like, I'm gonna be real with you. On one hand, yes, I do think it's important to support your spouse, and I did it to the point where it fucking damn near killed me. But, the flip side of that is this. If I am not supporting of a project that motherfucker wanted to do around the house, guess what? I'm not supporting it financially either. If you want to do that, that shit's on you. Like, if this is your fucking idea and your brainchild and you want to proceed with this, don't expect me to split the fucking bill with your decision. Just like I don't expect, you know what I mean? Like, I don't expect you to split the bill if I make a fucking big financial decision. Like, that's not how we operate. If we have separate money, baby, guess what? We have separate money. Like, you can't, like, And that's something you have to understand. If your finances are separate, then fucking act like it. Don't try to fucking make decisions with my money. I'm not making decisions with yours. So, yeah. Like that kind of disrespect, you know what I mean? Or, like, the double standard. Like, that was a whole fucking thing, you know? And I enabled that. That's the thing. Like, because I fucking stayed, like, I enabled that. Because I didn't stand up for myself. Because I didn't want to because I was trying to pick my battles in the beginning. And unfortunately, what picking my battles in the beginning turned into was enabling and silencing myself. And so that's where I played in. Because, like, I did not know how to have healthy conflict at that time in my life, because it was never fucking, like, that was never given, like, I never saw an example of that in my own life because, like, I don't know people that have had healthy conflict before. It's a new concept, right? And so I never saw it, so I didn't understand it, and I couldn't do it myself. So pretty much I had one of two ways of operating when it came to a disagreement. Either A, this is all out fucking warfare, or I'm silencing myself. And that was the place that I operated from. My ex was not different, at least not to my knowledge, you know? Except my ex, I think, had an easier time standing up for himself. So I actually think that was probably the most cohesive conversation I've had about that topic. So I'm going to step off on this one. I may record another episode because I don't feel like I'm totally done. But in the meantime, thank you for tuning in. And as always, everybody, have a good night and be well.